The 29th. It's a great day for a feast in the church year. I have long treasured the 29th of September, the feast of St. Michael and all angels. But I must admit that I have been remiss in observing the 29th of June, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. What a high-octane combination that duo represents. And what a happy occasion, then, to be in chapel on the morning of June 29th, worshiping God for his provision of saints, indeed his provision of apostles such as these. And what a happy coincidence that in a chapel packed with pastors and pastors-to-be and the families and the supporters of those pastors and pastors-to-be, the appointed text from the Old Testament is addressed to pastors. It's enough to make a chapel full of shepherds and shepherds in training sit up and take notice. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. All right, I'm listening. A letter to pastors, straight from the top. Let's hear the good word of Yahweh for his shepherds, his pastors. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding my sheep, so the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore. But I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. Oh, what kind of word is that? Where's the, I will support my shepherd in the good work he's doing? Where's the, I know you've sacrificed so much for me and for the flock. Don't worry, I'll see that you're blessed. Where's the, thanks for laboring so hard at this tireless, usually thankless shepherd thing. Where's that word of Yahweh? Ah, but wait. What are we thinking? What are we worrying about? This letter to pastors isn't addressed to you and to me at all. No, in fact, this terse rebuke is aimed at people who do deserve it. Ask any exegete, he'll tell you. It's Israel's failed leadership that is getting this earful of scolding and judgment. It's the kings, and it's the priests, and it's even a few prophets. It's those faithless leaders of Israel who are the targets of this harsh word. What a relief. Thank God for exegetes. What a relief for us who give it all we've got to be good shepherds, and good shepherds in training, and good supporters of those shepherds and shepherds in training. And so God, thankfully, isn't just brushing past all of our hard work and our relentless struggling and our honest sacrificing. Perhaps he'll have a good word for the likes of us after all. And here it is. Hard on the heels of the rebuke comes verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. So that's it. We're not the shepherds at all. No, not this time around. We get plenty of those shepherd words from Paul and even from Jesus. Now, here at least in Ezekiel, we're fortunate enough to be just plain old sheep. The flock. And not just any old flock, mind you. God's flock. Israel. God's Israel. The people of God's own choosing. The new Israel, of course. The church. Sheep, hand-picked by God himself from before the first day of creation. People specially elected to be part of God's flock. Called out of the nations, called to be God's very own. Indeed, that's who you are. By grace, by God's work, by the astounding work of the Good Shepherd, you're in. You're one of the sheep. You're part of the flock, and in that flock, life is good. In that flock, hard work and sacrifices don't go unnoticed. In that flock, a sheep can graze well and grow strong. Yes, and even gain that healthy, filled outlook. You know, that well-fed American style symbol of prosperity and blessing. Not gaunt, but, well, sleek. A sheep has a good in God's flock. And that's how Ezekiel rounds out our feast day's letter to shepherds. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. What is this? Just when it was looking so good. Just when the good old gospel was kicking in and it was sounding so good and feeling so good to be part of the flock. Just when it started to sound like it's supposed to sound. Ezekiel, or rather Yahweh, the letter writer, throws in this zinger. It's almost an afterthought. It almost gets lost, but there it is. The lost gets sought. The scattered, they get brought back. The broken, they get bound up. And the sick, they get strengthened. And the fat and the strong, oh yeah, they get exterminated. That's the word. What's the deal? Can't we have a nice, comforting word from the ultimate good shepherd? Indeed, this abrupt slap of harsh judgment proved so disconcerting that the Septuagint simply rewrote it. In the Septuagint, Yahweh promises that when it comes to the flat, or the fat, or if you prefer, the sleek, and to the strong, he will simply watch over them. That sounds a whole lot better. But you know, the Hebrews got it right here. And no, there's no wiggle room out of this one. It's dreadfully. No, it's disastrously direct. The well-fed, the good, solid, healthy, sleek sheep, precisely those good sheep, Yahweh will exterminate. And it is no idle threat. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. The sleek, strong sheep get it. Not their deserved reward, not a pile of blessings. No, they get it. They get destroyed. Make no mistake, the sleek and the strong are not just fat cat billionaires who deal in power and prestige. We could handle, no, we could delight in that. No, the fat and the strong sheep are just those who aren't the lost, the scattered, the broken, or the weak. The sleek, strong sheep are the decent, solid folk. The folk who do their best with what they've got, make a genuine effort at making things a little better. It's people like you who do all right, who know a thing or two about taking care of yourself, who know about getting your work done, about meeting your responsibilities on time even. People who know a little thing about enjoying some of the good life along the way, you know, just your fair share. Sound familiar? I know sheep like that. This text scares me silly. I'll take the Septuagint reading any day. But the wonder of this text and the impossible beauty of this word of Yahweh is precisely in its incongruity and its dissonance. You see, the hard truth is that God has no use for self-made men. He has no use for the well-fed and the healthy. He has no interest in the man who's learned to pull his own weight and make a real contribution. He doesn't want fat and strong sheep because fat and strong sheep don't want him. Fat and strong sheep are self-sufficient, self-confident, certain of the blessings they've got coming to them. That's why God does the only loving thing. He destroys them. Because once they've been destroyed, they're ready to be part of his flock. Peter was one sleek, fat, robust, healthy sheep, wasn't he? You, Lord, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What a dude. What an apostolic dude. What a dude Peter was. Lord, even if all the rest turn and run, I'm your man. I'm sticking with you. You can count on me. And so what did Yahweh do to this sleek, strong sheep? He exterminated him. I don't know him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Indeed, he'd been killed by his own self-sufficient sin. And then there's Paul, another, perhaps the ultimate good, strong, healthy, righteous sheep. A Benjamite, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a persecutor of heresy, a real stand-up guy, a guy who got things done, a good, strong, fat sheep. And what did Yahweh do with this fine, sleek specimen? He wiped him out. The flash of light, the word of rebuke, the humbling, crushing blindness inside and out. Paul was killed. Self-sufficiency and self-righteousness annihilated. What a mercy. The fat and the strong are destroyed, and once destroyed, they are ready at last for God's work. Ready to be bound up and made new again by God himself. They are ready to be real sheep of the flock, God-made sheep of the flock. God only cares for the broken and the weak sheep. Grace is for those who have been lost and torn apart. And grace is what those sheep always get. So it was for Peter, broken and shamed. He got grace. And then he got sent out, a shepherd of all things. And so it was for Paul, torn apart, humiliated, repentant indeed. He got grace. And then he got sent out, a shepherd. And so it is for you, broken and humbled, the self-made, fat and strong sheep, thoroughly slaughtered. You get grace. And then you get sent out, of all things, a shepherd after all. God grant it.